I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Beautiful day out there. I get my notes straightened around here. I'd like to start in the third chapter of Philippians today. I asked a young lady a little bit ago why she wasn't up here for Sunday school. She said she was too old. I thought, you know, I'm going to have to use that on Jim next time. I want to start in that third chapter. And I want to start in the first verse through the fourth. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Christ was truly revolutionary in how he changed the way people thought, especially Paul. What a blow it must have been to Paul to find out all that you thought about religion wasn't quite that way. Have you ever looked at the Mosaic Law? It was, in a lot of ways, like Sharia law. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it like that. It was pretty harsh. The punishment for sin was death. And Paul was part of that. You see, if anyone didn't really agree with him or what he taught, they were stoned. You notice that when we have a disagreement, or even in the church or at home or whatever, if every time you had a disagreement with someone, you'd say, well, that guy's got to go. You know, and this was before he was blinded on the way to Damascus. You know, if we get rid of that guy, everything will be okay. You just got to believe like I do. And if they didn't, they were eliminated. Could you imagine today? And believe me, it still happens. If that was the case in the church, there would be none of us left. Because you'd always have a disagreement. There's no room to be able to discuss things. We find that in Sunday school, there should be nothing that we shouldn't be able to discuss. Because invariably, there are always other issues that come up. And so then, after you've got rid of these people, then you have to get rid of more people. And it continues on and on. But you know, that's not how it's supposed to be. Paul found that out the hard way. He was supposed to be someone that was supposed to be listened to. Let's continue on. Fifth verse. circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I counted all these things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. A transformation. Losing all your nobility, your possessions, everything that you thought important. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the changes that Paul had to go? All his friends, everything that he knew. Can you imagine losing all your church friends? Your way of life? Yeah, your way of life. Let's continue on. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the relationship of his suffering, being made conformably unto his death. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I followed after it, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am I apprehended of Christ Jesus. That I may know him. I sometimes wonder how well we know him. You know, I haven't made those kind of changes in my life. And I'm sure many of you probably haven't. You know, we say we know him through the scriptures. Paul was a Pharisee. He probably knew the scriptures better than you and I. He also thought the same thing, that he knew God through the scriptures. You see where I'm going? If we knew Christ, there wouldn't be any divorce among us. There wouldn't be any adultery. There wouldn't be any lying or stealing or any manner of sin. We may know the scriptures, but we haven't known him. If these things are among us, have we changed ourselves enough to allow that Spirit to work within us? But I think it's more than that. I think it's attitude. You know, we discussed in Sunday school this morning about staying on that path. But I think it's more than that. We could know the scriptures and stay on that path and still miss that relationship with our Lord. Because when someone disagrees with us, we say, no, you're wrong. Instead of through the scriptures saying, have you ever considered it this way? You know, when I first came into the church, we went to Cowgill, a little local up there by Georgeville. And when I started out in the gospel, my brothers and sisters were so patient, loving and caring. And you know, I find even now, in looking back, God was nudging me a certain way. I thought I understood things. And I find that as I went further, I find that some of those things weren't quite right. But the scriptures said that they were. You see, I think it's our spiritual well-being more than anything else. Like Paul here, even though, you know, he was a Pharisee and a Hebrew and all those other things, when he realized that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that he had to be converted to more than anything else, nothing else mattered. Now, who of us can say that? Nothing else matters. The sons of Mosiah was another good example of a change in their way of thinking. They went about trying to destroy the church. And you've got to think about this. They were royalty. They were the king's sons. You think that Paul thought he was something? It may be hard to convince someone that is king's son. I want you to go to page 364, which is the 12th chapter of Alma. And Ammon went to the land of Ishmael, the land being called after the sons of Ishmael, who also became Lamanites. And as Ammon entered the land of Ishmael, the Lamanites took him and bound him, as was their custom, to bind all the Nephites who fell into their hands and carry them before the king. And thus it was left to the pleasure of the king to slay them, or to retain them in captivity, or to cast them into prison, or to cast them out of his land according to his will and pleasure. And thus Ammon was carried before the king who was over the land of Ishmael, and his name was Lamoni. And he was a descendant of Ishmael. And the king inquired of Ammon if it were his desire to dwell in the land among the Lamanites, or among his people. And Ammon said unto him, yea, I desire to dwell among this people for a time, yea, and perhaps until the day I die. And it came to pass that King Lamoni was much pleased with Ammon, and caused that his bands should be loosed. And he would that Ammon would take one of his daughters to wife. But Ammon said unto him, nay, but I will be thy servant. Therefore, Ammon became a servant to King Lamoni. I want you to think about that for a second. That servant was a slave from a king's son to a slave. Quite a difference. Quite a change. All the earthly possessions to owning nothing. How do you think we'd fare? You see, nothing else mattered to them other than their God and His will. Nothing else. Let's go to page 420, which is the 16th chapter of Alma. Now this is Alma. And I'm going to start in the 116th verse. And this is before they went somewhere. Now it came to pass that when Alma had said these words, that he clapped his hands upon all of them who were with him. And behold, as he clapped his hands upon them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And after that, they did separate themselves one from another, taking no thought for themselves what they should eat or what they should drink or what they should put on. And the Lord provided for them that they should hunger not, neither should they thirst. Yea, and he also gave them strength that they should suffer no manner of affliction, save it were swallowed up in the joy of Christ. Now this was according to the prayer of Alma, and this because he prayed in faith. The joy of Christ. Have you experienced that? Now, you have to remember that these men that in the beginning also were men that started out in opposition to God, like Paul. You know, I think a lot of it is trying to repair the damage that these men had done. You know, we sometimes don't do that. And, you know, but first and foremost, I think it's having a knowledge of who God is and what God is. Because it changes how we think. Good example is that is Alma, the 10th chapter, and it's page 352. And I'm going to start in the 44th verse. And this is where, and I want you to think about this. This is where those people that had been converted to Christ, many of them were burned at this. And so I'm going to start in the 44th verse. And they spit upon him and cast him out from among them, and also all those who believed in the words which had been spoken by Alma and Amulek. And they cast them out and sent men to cast stones at them. And they brought their wives and children together. And whoso believed or had been taught to believe in the word of God, they caused that they should be cast into the fire. And they also brought forth their records which contained the Holy Scriptures and cast them into the fire also, that they might be burned and destroyed by fire. And it came to pass that they took Alma and Amulek and carried them forth to the place of Matredom, that they might witness the destruction of those who were consumed by fire. And when Amulek seen the pains of the women and the children who were consumed in the fire, he was also pained. And he said unto Alma, how can we witness this awful scene? Therefore, let us stretch forth our hands and exercise the power of God, which is in us, and save them from the flames. But Alma said unto him, The Spirit constraineth me that I must not stretch forth mine hand. For behold, the Lord receiveth him up unto himself in glory. And he doth suffer that they may do this thing, or that the people may do this thing unto them according to the hardness of their hearts, that the punishment which he shall exercise upon them in his wrath may be just. I want you to think about that for a second. Now, by the world standard, who of us in our right mind would witness these things and have the power of God and not stretch forth our hands and stop it? But you see, there was a greater cause. It wasn't how it appeared at all. Because he explains here. You see, I believe that the things that we do to one another, I mean the bad things, we answer for it in this life or the next one. If you believe that there is a God, it is a lot worse for you because you know better. You know better. So how do we deal with one another? It's like casting people out of the church. It's like, you know, your neighbor did something to you. It's like someone that cut you off in the car. It doesn't matter. We're called to a different standard. First Corinthians. The sixth chapter. Nine and ten. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be ye not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminators, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, neither thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor evil, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Did you get that? You see, I think that sometimes these rules don't apply to us. They apply more to us. Like the Nephites. You are more responsible. I'm more responsible because I know better. The excuses aren't going to mean anything when you stand before that God. What are you going to say at that time? Better have it well rehearsed, but I don't think it'll mean anything. Well, they didn't believe, like I do. Romans, the 10th chapter. In Sunday school this morning, we used one of the scriptures I was going to use. Third verse, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I want you to think about that for a second. You know, the woman that was caught in adultery, she had every right to stone her. But didn't. You know, We've done many things in our lives that were worthy of spiritual death. And yet, God still deals with us. Still helps us work through these things. And gives us that time to do those things. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the one thing that we have to have is that love for one another. That always doing the right thing. I want you to go to the 6th chapter of Romans. And it was read this morning in Sunday school. No, maybe it wasn't. It was the 8th. 12 through 18. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye are the servants, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that from form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. There has to be a change in us. There has to be a change in us. These things should scare you. Let's go to Galatians, the 5th chapter. I want to start in the 14th verse. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This is talking about us that believe. You know, if you have no concept of who God is, it's hard to love your God, the one before this, but always doing the right thing here. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These things should scare you. And I know that's a good motivator, but that's not what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is that relationship that you have to have with your Lord and Savior. Let's go on a little bit. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the thing that ye would. But if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And so you can't be on one side or the other. You know, my life has changed in so many ways. And I find that the spiritual being that is trapped within me, I pray, I glorify my God. No matter what happens, there is no power in the rest of the world like those men that changed their lives. There is no power that can come upon me, has no power over me. And these things that are among us shouldn't be among us. See, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But now the good side. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, the Nephites had those things after Christ left. And it said that there couldn't be a happier people created by the hand of God. None of those other things were in there. You know, I believe it's always about doing the right thing. It's like that 14th verse, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I find that there's always things that happen in your life that test this. And you know, I find that every time I try and do the right thing, it usually turns out a lot differently than I ever thought it was possible. You see, that creature, this flesh, is our enemy. You wouldn't think that, but it is. You see, we have to have that love within us. Can you imagine Judas? And it said that, he said, have I not chosen 12 of you, and yet one is the devil? He knew who Judas was. And yet he didn't treat him any differently than any of the others. Knew what was ahead. You see, I don't think we're mature enough to have that. Because if we knew those things that were ahead, the thoughts of someone that didn't believe us or disagreed with us. I sometimes wonder why, I know why God doesn't reveal some of those things to us. Brothers and sisters, it has to change who you are. And it has to start with each and every one of us. I would ask for your prayers, and I would tell you that I would pray for you. But I need your prayers also. I pray that you receive something of this message, but I know that we are unworthy of the blessings that God bestows upon us. And I just pray that we would be ready for the things that are coming, and that we would single our lives like Paul, like Elmer, like Ammon, the sons of Messiah, that nothing else would matter other than our God. I thank you all for your time, and I pray that God will bless you in this day. Thank you very much.